And the woman who's coming up tonight, the only thing I've ever seen on her face was love, pure love. And I want to have you all give it up for Kathy. Come on up, Kathy.
Thank you, Barbara. Wow. Gonna get me crying before I start. Thank you for that welcome. Good evening, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be able to be here with you all and to share some thoughts with you tonight. You know, when Millie signed me up to talk, it was after a circle at Fred and Shirley's house. And when I said yes, I didn't realize that I'd be going on vacation 2 weeks before I would talk. I've only been back about a week and a half, so I was like, how am I going to come up with a topic? And I was hoping that my two-week visit to see my family would help me come up with something, and it did, as you can imagine. Family is fertile ground. And I've heard a saying that we tend to teach what we need to learn, what we need to know. And so everything I'm going to share tonight is what I've been learning and what I continue to need to be reminded of and even learn on a deeper level. So my title for tonight is Wake Up and Remember Who You Are. You know, Reverend Millie reminds us always that we are bubbles of God. As Lindy mentioned on Monday, Michael Bernard Beckwith mentions that we are individuations of God. And if you've ever read Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh, he also has channeled that we are individuations of God. And I like the image of the ocean and that we are droplets of water in the ocean, and God is the ocean. There are so many analogies because it's so hard to wrap our mind around this whole concept of who are we, who is God, what are we doing here, what is this universe all about? And so, you know, the best we can do sometimes is come up with these analogies or these images. We are source energy in human form. Another analogy that I really like is that God is the energy, the electricity running around the walls of our homes, and we are the toaster that plugs into that energy. And together we make really cool toast. So who are we? We are love, we are good, I dare say we are God in our best, at our best. We are truly God's own. We are connected to that source energy when we are in a high vibration. And when we're in that high vibration, we feel emotions like love, passion, joy, appreciation. That's when we're really connected. And when we get into those, quote, negative emotions, all that means is that our connection to God, to source, is kind of weak, not real clear, kind of interrupted. When we feel negative emotion, it usually tells us a couple of things. One is that I'm either thinking or doing, actually it's both things. I'm either thinking or I'm doing something that my higher self, the source within me, would not think or would not do. And because I feel that negative emotion, that's telling me that I am disconnected from God, from source. You may have heard the expression, listen to your gut. Didn't quite get that for a long time. And when I didn't listen to my gut, things turned out really poorly. Very painful, very messy. Our gut gives us honest and clear guidance from our inner being. So what happens when we forget who we are? Well, our lives get pretty messy. We lose our guidance, we lose our way. We get into all kinds of trouble. I'm sure you can think of your own trouble you've gotten into. Mine trouble tends to show up mostly in relationships. I'll start dating someone and I'll see these red flags. And I kind of know they're red flags, but part of me forgets, what does that red flag mean again? You know, red means stop. Do not proceed. I just didn't get that for the longest time. I'm starting to get it now. But when I don't listen, when I haven't listened, I have entered into another person's dysfunction, another person's mess. And because of my own issues, I try to go in and fix it. And I love feeling like Wonder Woman, I can help them out. And totally gets me off my own path. So again, what happens when we forget? Our lives get messy. We lose our way. We can get into many roles, such as the victim role. You know, poor me, everything is happening to me. We can get into addictive behaviors, abusiveness to ourselves and others, even fanaticism, holding on to or finding an idea or a movement or a group and making our whole life about that to the detriment of even our own growth. Many times when we forget who we are, we don't have a sense of boundaries. You know, where I stop and another person starts. No sense of who I am, no sense of what I prefer, what I would like to do. And that, of course, leads into people-pleasing. You know, I mentioned in one of my talks that I became such a people-pleaser that I lost my identity in the process. It's a very painful experience to realize you don't know who you are. But it is a joyous journey to find that out. And in general, just codependent behavior, what you may have heard is codependent behavior. We can even get depressed when we forget who we are, when we lose touch with ourselves. We can get even addicted or make it a habit to be angry all the time, be fearful all the time, feel unfulfilled and unworthy. So how did we forget who we are? You know, we come down here as beautiful babies, babies and children who know that they are love, that they are joy. They know this. We knew this. How did we forget, though? What was that? Thank you. Exactly. We're raised by people who are forgotten. They've forgotten who they are. They can't give us what they don't have. We're raised by parents or caregivers many times who are addicted to substances, addicted to religion, addicted to looking good for the neighbors, whatever, you name it. Sometimes we're raised by people pleasers who don't even know who they are, so how can they show us how to be true to ourselves? And many of us are raised by or around abusers, again, who either abuse us, abuse themselves. So we're taught by either word or deed or attitude that we're unworthy, that we're not good enough. Now, this sounds very depressing, but there's good news. I'm getting to the good news. But before I do, there's another aspect of how we become forgetful about who we are. And I was reminded of this when I went back to New York. I went with my mom to Sunday Mass, and I hadn't been to the Catholic Church in a while, but I kind of go with her to keep her company and just to kind of see where I'm at with that and kind of touch in with, you know, where is that religion and where am I and how far have my views changed? And, you know, many religions teach us that God is something outside of us, that we are these little peons, we are these sinners. You know, sinning really means to miss the mark. It doesn't mean we're shameful and we're horrible and we're worthless, but that's kind of the connotation it's taken on over the years. So many religions teach us that we are nothing, God is outside of us, God is everything, and we need to beg for love, beg for forgiveness. We're taught to follow the rules. I don't know about the other religions, but I think Catholicism is one of the religions that kind of has a corner on the market of many rules and many doctrine and many dogma. And I've learned a lot of great things from Catholicism. I don't mean to slam it, but it does have its share of rules, for sure. And many rules are rules that were made up by people in God's name. And then we were told that if we don't follow these rules, we are bad, we are condemned to hell, or whatever rules thrown out there are given to us. So we're not taught to listen to ourselves. Now, how do we remember who we are? Many of us felt unhappy or dissatisfied with where we were, and we started searching for answers. We may have seen other people who were happy or seemed to have their life together, and we may have asked them, you know, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing to be happy? You seem to be content or successful. What are you doing? What's your secret? You know, maybe that's how many of us found this church, or maybe some of you found Wednesday night that way as well. So you may have shopped around for a church or a philosophy or some kind of spirituality that would meet your needs, that would speak to you. You may have sought counseling. I know counseling was the first door. Well, for me, it was the convent. The convent was the first door of opening up some answers for myself, and that led to counseling. And counseling is a great way to get some support and some answers and some guidance. It helps us to find our way. Now, how did you find your way? Or if you're still not sure, how can you find your way? You know, there are so many tools out there. There's not just one way. As I mentioned, there's counseling. There's our spiritual development classes here with Reverend Millie. I have experienced so much healing from Reverend Millie's classes. I go to Tuesday night. And my dad has been on the other side now for almost, well, 6.5 years. And when he was on the earth plane, he was limited by his human perceptions, by his addictions, by his dysfunction, by his fanaticism with Catholicism. And he just could not understand me. He couldn't understand a lot of things. He couldn't understand himself. But now that he's free of the body and he's on the other side and he is pure love, he has come through to me in class through different people. And I have experienced such a healing just to know that he understands and loves and accepts me. I mean, it's such a basic thing. But to really know that you know and to feel that love is so healing. And although I've experienced a lot of healing in counseling sessions, I was counting. I think I've probably all told been maybe in about 7 or 8 years of counseling throughout the years. And all of the different episodes I've been in counseling have been enormously helpful. But the therapy I've experienced, the healing in spiritual development classes, is just far beyond what I can describe. Books, reading books can be an awesome source of knowledge and information, and even healing. I have read many books where I have gotten so attached to the author and their experience. One book in particular was Melody Beattie's Beyond Codependency, where she shares her own journey. And I felt like she was my sponsor. She was my mentor. And when I finished the book, I felt very sad. I really missed her. There are many books out there. I'm currently reading a book called Everyday Karma, which is awesome. And maybe I'll talk on that next time I talk. But there's just so many resources available to us. Also journaling, taking time to sit down with pen and paper and write down your thoughts and your feelings. It kind of allows you the opportunity to slow down and examine your life, examine who you are, what's important to you. And you can go back and look at what you've written weeks or months before and learn a lot about yourself. See how far you've come. Meditation is a really powerful tool for helping to get in touch with who we are. Basically, meditation helps us to get in touch with the truth or the reality of who we are, because when we sit still and either focus on our breath, focus on the flicker of a candle, or maybe meditate on a word or a mantra, or just on our breath, just focusing on our breath, we stop thought as much as we're able to. And when you stop thought, you stop resistant thought, and our natural high vibration comes. Our vibration raises, and it's such a peaceful kind of respite from our life and even from our thoughts, because many of our thoughts can be negative and bring us down. Being of service to others, getting outside of ourselves, can be very therapeutic and help us to remember that we're not alone, that we really are connected, and that what we do is important. choosing to look for the positive in any situation, that can take practice, but it really is worth the practice of starting to look at things in a more positive way, appreciating things, appreciating each other. It's important to pay attention to how you're feeling and what you're thinking, and realize that you can choose what to focus on. Remember that whatever we focus on gets bigger. So if I'm fearful and I keep focusing on why I'm fearful, I'm going to work myself into such a place of disconnection because I'm so wrapped up in my fear. But if I focus on the fact that I'm focus on love, focus on the fact that I'm not alone, that's what's going to actually increase. And whatever we focus on affects our vibration. And because like attracts like, we want to be careful about what vibration we're putting out there. So what are you attracting by your thoughts and by your emotions? It's important to know that we can consciously work our way up the emotional scale just by reaching for a thought that feels better, just by reaching for relief. And it doesn't mean we have to be Pollyanna and deny something that is really bad. If something's really bad and we don't like it, that's fine. It lets us know what we do want. So it's just important to realize that we do have the power to focus our thoughts onto something else. And breathing. Take deep breaths. We can do that anytime throughout the day. Our breath is our connection with Source. Our breath is our connection with God. You would think, having been in the convent for a couple years, I'd know the Bible better than I do. But I think it's in Genesis, where it says, God took the clay of the earth and molded it into man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And so our breath is very closely related, tied to our spiritual energy, to our spirit, to who we really are. And by taking time to take those slow, deep breaths, we actually gain a stronger connection to who we really are. So years ago when I was in the convent, one of the sisters would give a pre-retreat talk to the kids, the seniors in high school. So imagine that this is Waterford Crystal. And this is each one of us. We're clear channels. We're beautiful. This is how we come into the world. And then we get told that we're bad, or we're not good enough, over and over. We make mistakes and we're ridiculed for it, whatever it might be. And we get a little cloudy. We get a little weighed down. And then we go to school and we don't do well in school, and we start beating ourselves up because we've learned how to do that from the people around us. And we get even a little more cloudy. And then we're tired of being maybe shy or too tall or whatever. And we realize that there are ways that we can ease that pain. Maybe we discover alcohol or cigarettes or food or spending money. And we get a little more cloudy with each of those behaviors that we take on. And it's really hard for us to even know that we are a channel of God, that we are connected. And so the way to get back connected is to first realize that, gee, I'm not feeling so good. Something's wrong here. And asking for help. And maybe taking a class or taking a meditation class or asking other people what they're doing to strengthen their spirit, to let go of some negative thoughts or some heavy baggage from the past. You know, maybe checking out counseling or just developing a good friendship support group that you can share with and be real with. Learn how to be real. And before you know it, you're back to your clear self. And, you know, I wish we could always stay this way. But it's a process. You know, life continues to evolve, and we continue to face challenges. And we might get, you know, a little cloudy day after day. But now we have the tools, and we can say, you know what? I need to take some time for myself. I need to go for a walk on the beach and listen to the waves. Or I need to go play with my friends and socialize and reconnect with them and recharge. Or I need to sit quietly and just pray and meditate. Or I need to do something for someone else. I need to get outside of myself. I'm just thinking about me too much. I'm getting stuck with this. So whatever it might be. Again, there is no right way. We get to choose the path moment to moment. And, you know, the main thing is being aware of when we need some help and being open to different paths, different tools, and then choosing which one is going to work in that moment. I wanted to close with a song that I wrote after one of my messy relationships. In 12-step programs like AA and Al-Anon, you have sponsors. And my Al-Anon sponsor at the time told me, Kathy, you need to write a song about listening to your gut. I think she was getting tired of hearing my messes. So I was able to write this song. It's called Listen to Your Gut. Listen to your gut when it tells you what's up, 'cause you know it's right. Most of the time, really all the time, but it just doesn't fit well. That little voice, well, it's got no choice but to tell you what's going on. My troubles are of my own making, 'cause I want what I want right now. My life is a mess, but you'd never guess that I just don't know how. How to listen to my gut when it tells me what's up, 'cause you know it's right most of the time. That little voice, well, it's got no choice but to tell you what's going on. Relationships aren't easy, and we all want love in our life. But it's better to wait, it's never too late when it don't feel right. Listen to those red flags. You gotta listen to your gut when it tells you what's up, 'cause you know it's right most of the time. That little voice, well, it's got no choice but to tell you what's going on. It's taken so much time, ooh, but now I've come to find the answers I've been searching for are right here inside. So listen to your gut when it tells you what's up, 'cause you know it's right most of the time. That little voice, well, it's got no choice but to tell you what's going on. I say that little voice, well, it's got no choice but to tell you what's going on. Thank you for giving me this time.
See, I didn't lie to you about her. She's awesome.